Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert and Mary and our show team anytime on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X at RM World Travel. Now, back to award-winning RM World Travel.
All right, it is 18 past the hour on this February 24th broadcast, and as Mary and I bring all of you back to the New York City area with us, we're about to reconnect with show friend Chip Rogers for the next 10 minutes. That will be for the Chief Travel Leader Conversation, and it's sponsored by TravelGuard.com/Gary.
And whether you're on the move for spring break travel or, frankly, whenever you travel, in today's world, travel insurance is important for a successful trip. So rather than putting your investment or well-being at risk, make getting covered part of your travel planning. It's affordable, and it provides protection that you need in many ways.
You know, we promote this company because they're committed to providing products and services that are going to exceed expectations. Forbes has ranked them as the best travel insurance company out there. And when you think about what travel costs these days, the challenges you're facing if or when something goes awry, because we all know things happen that none of us may expect. Just do what we do. Get the coverage you should have at TravelGuard.com/Carry. You'll also find a link, as always, at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
Okay, let's head straight to that show hotline. Joining us for today's Chief Travel Leader Conversation is Chip Rogers, CEO of AHLA, or the American Hotel and Lodging Association.
Well, it's always nice having you on the program with us, Chip. Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show.
It is so good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. Nice to have you here again. You know, Mary and I, we just got back from 8 days down in Miami Beach and Marco Island, and it was clear to us that both hotels we stayed at, they were struggling with some staffing. Ironically, the Hilton Resort in Marco was better staffed than the Hilton-affiliated property we stayed at in Miami Beach. You would think that Miami Beach might have more people there. I don't know. Anyway, but I do know that AHLA, you had put out a survey earlier this month that about two-thirds of hotels are reporting staff shortages. Clearly, this impacts travel experiences, but it's also a real issue for the properties themselves and the personnel working there. They have to fill in gaps, work more hours. That can lead to burnout, more openings as people leave. So what are you hearing from industry contacts about this, Chip, and any meaningful solutions you see coming?
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. So it is better than it was 2 years ago. If you go back to the summer of 2021, we had almost 100%. I think it was like 97% of hotels had staffing shortages. That's down to just 67% now, but we'd like to see it down to 20% or so. I think the more critical part are the percentage of hotels that say they are severely understaffed. And what that means is they have so many openings that it's impacting the way that they would normally do their business based on demand. In other words, they're shutting down outlets. They perhaps might even be shutting down rooms because they just don't have enough people. That percentage that are severely understaffed is luckily down to about 12% now. It had gotten all the way up to the mid-40s at some point. So things are getting better, but we're still a long way from where they need to be. And what are hotels doing about it? Well, we also ask that question, like, how are you encouraging more people to get into the industry? This is a pretty astounding number. In the last 6 months, 82% of hotels say they have increased wages. And that wage number is almost $24 an hour for hourly workers. That's across the industry, across the country. And so wages are higher than they've ever been, and hotels continue to raise those wages. They continue to add more flexibility with hours. About 60% said they've done that in the last 6 months. And so I think hotels are doing pretty much everything we can do at this point to encourage people to come on board. But this is really a problem across the entire economy. We've seen this now for years, where there's just millions more job openings than there are people that are available to work.
Yeah, and that's right. Why our prices are high. When you're saying when you're paying $24 on average at a hotel, it's why the rates have gone up so much at hotels.
Well, Chip, you're on every few months with us, and although the numbers are better, I think we can all just still say to anyone listening out there, there's still a lot of opportunity for jobs in the hospitality industry.
Yeah, it's a great industry.
It's a terrific industry. So, Chip, let's talk hotel occupancy. We reviewed a report this week from hotel analytics firm STR that indicated U.S. hotel occupancy rates declined in January year over year, down 1.7% in January of 2024 versus 2023, but average daily rates increased 2.7% year over year during the same period, with the Hawaiian island of Oahu, not a surprise here, had the highest occupancy rate in January at 79%, up 6% from last year, and Minneapolis here on the mainland was the weakest at just about a 40% occupancy rate. Actually, maybe 40% is not so bad for Minneapolis in January. How closely do you follow these monthly numbers, Chip, and how do you interpret them?
Yeah, we look at them each and every week because we want to look at two things: what's happening with those occupancy numbers and then what's happening with that average daily rate. And rate continues to go up. I mean, one of the reasons rate goes up is what we just talked about a minute ago. You know, you're paying for labor at a much higher rate than you did in the past. I mean, in fact, if you looked at those average hotel wages, We're about 35% higher than the average wage increase across the economy. And so we've seen wage increases everywhere because of wage inflation, but hotels are even 35% higher than that. So that is happening. That's going to be reflected in the price. But the occupancy numbers overall, I mean, they're good. They're not great. You know, I think the real test will be once we get into spring and start seeing these large conventions come back,
mm-hmm.
Will they be back to the 2019 levels? Because we know the leisure travel is back. We know that the bleisure travel is there. And we know the small group travel is back. So the question is, do you get that large group travel back? I think we will. But I don't think anyone's expecting us to look significantly better than way back in 2019. But we'll probably be slightly ahead of where we were last year.
And some of the hardest hit hotels have been in our larger American cities, San Francisco, New York, Chicago. Do you anticipate that you will see better numbers this spring?
I think so. Look, I got to hand it to San Francisco. They have unfortunately created a situation where they have a bad reputation, but they're trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of other large states or large cities where they aren't really trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. So it's really one of the world's great cities, definitely one of America's great cities. And they're trying to clean the place up. The reality is in some of these large cities, they've created a mess themselves because people have the basic expectation to go to a clean, safe environment. And the cities like a Dallas, like an Orlando, like a Miami, where you just mentioned you were, they've really captured on that and figured out, look, if we can provide this clean, safe environment, people will show up. San Francisco's headed back in that direction, but it's going to take a while.
Oh, it's going to
take a bad reputation.
Yeah, right.
No question about that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to build on a little bit of what we've been talking about. This week, Choice Hotels CEO reported occupancy rates, average daily rates, and revenue per available room all declined in Q4 for their company. And he again emphasized that's why they need to pursue this hostile takeover of Wyndham Hotels and Resorts. So this has been a back and forth saga between Choice and Wyndham. We've been talking about it on the show. Maybe we could say it's, you know, Choice is in pursuit mode. Wyndham is in the thanks but no thanks mode. You know, just like we've been saying regarding JetBlue and Spirit Airlines, to grow and better compete against the big four, they need to come together. Obviously, the Biden administration has made things incredibly challenging for them. So right now, both companies are left with a very questionable future. But, you know, we feel similarly that Choice and Wyndham, a tie-up, would benefit both companies. So I realize it could be a little sensitive for you, Chip, but any thoughts on how this may play out and how it could benefit travelers?
Two extremely well-run companies operating in the same space, and like both of them, big fans of both of their CEOs. So I don't know where this is going. I think you accurately describe it. One is pursuing and one is wishing not to be pursued, which is an interesting way because it's not always that way. And then you referenced the Spirit Airlines and JetBlue. It's much different. So I don't know where this turns out. But the thing about our industry is that we're not just the big four or five carriers. I mean, you know, and there's a ton of independent hotels out there as well. And so when you look at the entire hotel economy, it's dramatically different from airlines. And it probably approaches more of a restaurant model than it does an airline model.
Chip, before we let you go, you've been in your current role as CEO of AHLA for over 5 years. You've had a strong career in other roles in government, even radio in the past. What are some things about the hotel sector of travel that you've come to really appreciate that you think our audience should be more aware of?
Best people in the world. I mean, if you think about the mindset of someone, and you two live it every single day that works in our industry, every day they wake up and their goal is to please the customer. And they have to please the customer because of the competition we just referenced a moment ago. But that's what customers are wanting in hospitality. It's the definition of it. And that type of person doesn't just have that outlook on life when they're at work. They really have it 24/7. And so the people in our industry are just amazing. Look, I did work in government for many years as an elected official, and there are some good people in government, but the outlook on life is dramatically different than those that are in the private sector hospitality industry. So I wake up every day just blessed to have what I think is the best job in the world, and I love doing it and love the people that are around me.
Well, I think that comes out loud and clear, and we appreciate, you know, when you give us some time on the show. We're going to run out of time, so I'm going to tease this for your future appearance with us because we do want to get into the hotel brands and this real just explosion or proliferation, if you will, of the brands. I mean, you have to try to describe Glow or Spark or Even or Moxie or Dazzler or Suburban Studios.
That's so next time,
Chip. That's going to be next time as well. Again, we really appreciate, Chip, the check-in. We thank you very much for being a part of the show, and we hope you have a nice rest of the weekend, okay?
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Chip.
Much. All right. Well, there goes Chip. I know he has a flight he has to catch. So, and we will have to have that conversation with him, Mary, about the proliferation of these hotel
all
brands.
The different out brands.
Because
yeah.
it is crazy. And folks, I mean, I don't know.
It's hard to keep up with.
You need a scorecard. All right. Well, right now we are going to take a quick sponsors break. Up next, the Iditarod will get some love and attention from us. The destination spotlight on Austin is also ahead this hour. RJ, as we mentioned in the opening A block, he's coming with the Open Road Network 2. As is the NCF, Personal Connection, Museum Gallery, and so much more. Stick with us, folks. We're coming right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.